Later this month, voters in Afghanistan will go to the polls for the second time since the Taliban was routed in 2001. Hamid Karzai won a clear victory in last year's presidential elections, but the outcome of this month's vote is much harder to predict. There are thousands of candidates competing for seats in the lower house of parliament and in provincial councils. NPR's Ivan Watson reports from Kabul.
Campaign season in Afghanistan, and in the crowded, polluted streets of Kabul, some candidates blare slogans from loudspeakers perched on top of cars. Meanwhile, poorer candidates simply go door-to-door on bicycles, handing out leaflets and sticking up posters. 249 seats in the national parliament and positions on 34 provincial councils are all up for grabs. Sultan Ahmed Bahin, the spokesman for Afghanistan's electoral board, says this election dwarfs last year's presidential poll.
In last election, we had only 18 candidates. But now we have 5,800. In some provinces like Kabul, we have 400 candidates on a ballot paper with 8 pages.
The candidates include professors, clerics, farmers, nomads, men and women from every ethnic and religious group. Among those competing for votes are some former enemies from Afghanistan's quarter century of conflict. Alongside ex-Taliban officials, there are Mujahideen commanders who led the fight against the Soviet occupation. Scores of former communists are also returning to politics for the first time since the overthrow of the Soviet-backed regime more than a decade ago. They include Soraya Perlika, a women's rights activist whose brother was a communist-era foreign minister. During a recent campaign trip, local religious leaders refused to allow Perlika to speak in a Saudi-built mosque on the outskirts of Kabul. Undaunted, she sat on the lawn of a bullet-scarred house nearby and addressed dozens of former army officers from the communist regime.
Within the past year, I've survived 10 attempts on my life, but I haven't lost my courage. I don't want anything for myself. I just want lawfulness to come to this country. I don't want the power of the gun to rule Afghanistan.
Widespread criticism of Afghanistan's warlords has put some well-funded candidates on the defensive. Mohammad Jawadi of the Hizbi Wahdat Party says communists and liberal Western-educated Afghans have launched a wave of anti-Mujahideen propaganda.
We don't deny that we made some mistakes, he says, but it was the Mujahideen who defeated the Soviets and the Taliban. The communists are trying to cover up their own atrocities, he added, and we will not tolerate these insults from traitors. Many Afghans and Western observers have criticized the election vetting process, which only disqualified 11 candidates for having ties to armed groups. Joanna Nathan is an analyst with the International Crisis Group.
I think the average Afghan you meet is incredibly disappointed by the faces you see coming up there. It's the same faces again and again that have often been the perpetrators of terrible atrocities in the past and today continue often to exercise powers in the regions.
At a crude roadside restaurant in a remote village in Bamyan province, the district prosecutor, a Mujahideen supporter, threatened to throw the cook in jail for not serving enough tomatoes and onions with his kebab. As soon as he left, a white-bearded cleric named Mullah Muhammad left no doubt about his scorn for the prosecutor.
We don't want gunmen anymore, and we don't want forced business anymore here. We will vote for somebody who has got the ability to serve us.
Ivan Watson, NPR News, Kabul.